Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young cat.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action from Mark Bulger firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, 12th of December. Why does today seem significant?
Happy 3 days till Star Wars Day.
Oh, yes. The day that I always look forward to.
Yes.
The new Star Wars movie does look good.
Wait a minute. You have never seen one, though.
Yeah, no, but the
anyone. Previews. You've never seen any of the, let's see how many we had now. 9, 3, 6, 7, 8. This would be the 9th installment.
That's not true.
Have you seen any of those 8? Now we'll have 9.
Parts of 3.
Parts of 3.
I'm telling you.
It's better than nothing.
I don't know why I fall asleep during like you put Star Wars on.
Fall asleep.
It may as well be Unisom for me.
Okay.
I don't know why. I honestly.
Well, you're not one of those. You're not a fantasy person. That's okay. You're probably not Lord of the Rings guy. You're not all that stuff.
No, I do. I do like that. Lord of the Rings. I do like Harry Potter.
That.
I do.
Okay, so no, not a sci-fi person. Non-sci-fi.
No.
Did Star Trek put you asleep? Classic Star Trek.
Ooh, classic
where the guy
Star
in the red shirt is always the one that's going
to
die.
Used to watch Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Which one? The old one or the middle one? I don't know what to call that one.
The Shatner ones.
Yes.
Shatner Picard.
By the way, if I asked you how old William Shatner is, what would you say? Just off the top of your head.
I would probably say 70.
Okay, Crawford, how old is William? I don't want your facts. Don't Wikipedia it.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying he's old.
What do you think?
He's old. I think he's 80 plus.
He is, surprise, surprise, 86 years old.
Get out of town.
Isn't that incredible?
He's been around forever.
Great for 86?
Well, I think he had some snip, snip. Tuck, tuck.
Yeah, but he's doing that show with Terry Bradshaw and some of the other guys. They're kind of doing that funny show where they grab old guys running around. He is 86 years of age.
Wow.
How about that? TJ Hooker?
I know some people that worked with him on some film stuff who said he is the toughest person to work with that they've ever encountered.
He's demanding. Like being demanding?
Yeah, but I mean, like, even in Hollywood realms, he's a tough guy to work with. Yeah.
Hey,
the guy said,
not everybody's a peach to be a part of, huh? You know anybody like that works here?
We had a film class, film production class in college. We had a guy come in, he was speaking to us, and somebody asked that question, you know, who's the toughest person you've ever had to work with? I mean, this guy's worked on several Hollywood films, and he goes, without a doubt, the biggest diva, William Shatner.
The biggest diva. Yeah. The guy described as a diva. But
yeah, that was that.
I find
was
that it. Interesting.
But the interesting. 86 years old, that is amazing.
Yeah, he's in great career.
Because I think the way I
did it. Priceline man he's been.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, seriously.
I went with, he was probably in his 40s in the 80s, and that was 30 years ago. So I was like 70. It's
a pretty impressive career.
Yes, it is.
Star Trek. Then T.J. Hooker, then back to more Star Trek movies, then the Priceline Man, and then just one of those guys.
I know.
Here's what I'm hoping. Here's what I'm hoping, and which I've known as you age. Here's one of those inevitable things that's going to happen to you as you age, Crawford, Dusty. This is all going to.
Yeah.
Our heads are going to get really big as we get older.
Yeah.
Everybody's head just gets enormous. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that I can find a way to shrink my head.
Okay.
Because it's already growing. I already know that. Did you notice that? When people, they just...
You should get experimental head shrinking surgery now.
Everybody's head just gets huge. I feel like your ears, your feet, and your head are the only thing that continue to grow as you age.
Crawford, you seem like you'd be the kind of person that knows a guy who can do that experimental head shrinking.
I know a guy. Just come over to his garage afternoon. We'll shrink your head.
Your head. Maybe your brain gets bigger.
Shrunken head. Yeah, you guys ever seen those in little, you know?
The witch doctors?
Yeah. Gonna end up like that. Be careful.
Yeah. You know what? He's still going on strong, man.
Of course.
He's got
spry.
He's got two things that'll be coming out in 2018, and then he's signed on to film something else called Aliens Ate My Homework.
Yeah.
Which will be in 2018.
Would you hope to be 86 and still be spry and active and have a career like that?
This guy's making
be awesome.
This guy's making bank. Bank.
All right.
Yeah. William Shatner talk. Oh, yeah, Star Wars week. Three days till Star Wars
Star
Day.
Star Trek. See the connection?
Yes, stars. It's all
stars,
in there.
It's all stars.
It's all in the stars. But that is the Star Wars movie, though. Back to that. It does look good. Are we still going backwards or forwards?
No, this is forwards now.
Now we are beyond the original one. So they
Rogue One was in between a new, it was right before A New Hope. It was in that in between there.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I know. In between.
Was that the plans of the Death Star one?
The original, first ones. Yeah, yes.
Okay.
So when Princess Leia was trapped and she got caught, she was taken off, and they put the plans inside R2-D2.
This is an easy question on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. I think that we can go ahead and answer this. Whose long career is better, William Shatner or Clint Eastwood? I go Clint Eastwood. I'm going Clint Eastwood. I think
TV
that's
star
easy.
Versus movie star. It gets different. It's different. It's film versus television.
Yeah, but Clint Eastwood is a badass who's been in a lot of really good stuff.
I'll give you that. But Star Trek, could it be the most iconic
television series?
Yeah, it's got to be. Come on, it's so transcendent.
There,
There's people that created their own language to discuss. Clint Eastwood's never done that.
It really is.
People speak Klingon.
Yes, they do.
Literally talk Klingon. There's a dictionary.
But we also have to remember his time on that show wasn't throughout the entirety of the series, though, too. You had Picard.
Splitting hairs.
I know, but, I mean, we're talking the longevity of the impact, you know. A lot of people like the Picard years, not nearly as much as the Shatner years. Though, right?
Right? I remember it was just like yesterday.
Ears and nose keep growing your whole life.
Ears and nose.
And your body shrinks, but your head stays the same size.
I don't know if your body shrinks.
Well, no.
Some people do.
When you get super old.
Yeah, your muscles.
Get frail and old.
Oh, yeah.
So what you need to do is not shrink your head. Just find the steroids that Barry Bonds didn't take.
Sure.
And maybe you just get the muscles up and your head will stay the same size. On this day in sports history, 2000, Texas Rangers signed Alex Rodriguez to a record 10-year, $252 million contract. Mm. Even 17 years later, that is a big contract.
Sure is.
Do you remember how ridiculous that was back then?
No, yeah.
You were in an NFL locker room at the time that was signed. What were you guys talking about the A-Rod contract then?
No, we thought that was what it cost to buy a franchise. We're like, this guy just bought the entire franchise.
Seriously.
Yeah, you could have paid $200 million and had a team then.
Turns out, it'll get you J-Lo.
Yeah.
Which in 2000 would have also been a great deal.
It should have been a great deal. Still is.
You're fired. Today.
All right, on today's program, Josh McCown has an emotional presser. Does it change the way you kind of feel about these guys and what they give to the NFL? Because if you haven't heard what he had to say, it might. It was pretty moving stuff from one of the surprise teams in the NFL. We'll discuss the Blazers losing their fifth straight game. My goodness, that was ugly. It's actually good at the end, though. Dame tried to say, hop on, boys.
All right, let's go.
Patriots losing Miami. Ugh.
It's Monday night.
Never.
Got a stat for you. Never ceases you help to amaze me. Help me search.
Never ceases to amaze me what this team does.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have the Saban effect in the SEC has been broken down, and the numbers are pretty jarring. What it's like to chase one coach and one coach only in a conference. We have a new sexual harassment scandal, and this time it is entering the sports realm yet again. And what Mark Emmert is saying about the NCAA, that's a bit of a head-scratcher.
Time to wake up.
All right, we will talk about the Blazers' fifth straight loss to the the Golden State Warriors. But let's talk about other games of note in the NBA, including the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are 12-14. The Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony experiment not working out. They lose to Charlotte, 116-103. They're just not very good right now.
No, I don't know what it is going on. When you have three superstars that seem to be, if you call it continuity, call it figuring out who it is, Melo's actually averaging the lowest he's ever had in his career. This is the Westbrook factor. It's got to be. I mean, if that's your leader and that's your point guard, he is not helping those guys get better.
Well, the other guy who is deemed extremely selfish is James Harden. Well, the Houston Rockets are the complete opposite.
Right.
They win 130-123, and they're 21-4. Harden goes for 26 points and 17 assists in the win.
MVP right there. He's already. I mean, he's got to be locking this thing up.
They get 26 points from Harden, 20 from Paul, and 28 from the Swiss Mister, Clint Capella. So, we'll NBA scoreboard for you there.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
Oh, enough note from the NBA scoreboard last night before we move on. The Bulls got their sixth win of the year over the best team in the East, the Boston Celtics.
Confusing.
108-85. They stomped them. Okay, the Balls are Lithuania bound. LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball will play for a team called Vytautas. They're going to Lithuania to play professionally.
Yeah.
LaVar's master plan is in motion. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. The coach is apparently a complete jerk that they're going to play for.
Well,
Brad Tinsley, Oregon City native, he was the only other American to be on that team. He was there for a month and was like, I'm out. Apparently, they're several months behind on players' game checks.
Uh-oh.
And they're going from Los Angeles to a Lithuanian city of 10,000 where nobody in the organization speaks English.
Probably cold.
No coach, no GM, nobody in the entire organization speaks English. And the Balls are going over there to play.
You know what?
This is a train wreck.
Yeah, train wreck.
What? Oh, wait, what? What were you going to say? Were you going to try to find the bright spot?
No, I wasn't going to find a bright spot. I really don't care. I don't. I wish them luck as young men. Maybe, just maybe, this is the Rocky effect where you send your kids over and you just train. You let them be a little tough. Get out of that Southern California sun, your beautiful Lamborghinis that you drive to the school. Maybe he's taking the reverse attitude.
Well,
good luck for you.
By the way, they aren't even going to play in the highest level of Lithuanian basketball. They're playing in the lower division.
Essentially, it's like the YMCA version of pro ball here.
Yeah, it's semi-professional basketball.
Semi-pro.
This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
All right, a couple of notes from the NFL. Carson Wentz is done for the year. That news is official.
Sucks.
Yes. Yes, it does.
We've been cheated this year with some quarterbacks.
They also...
Really cheated.
They also have said that... Not only is Carson Wentz done for the year, but there's no guarantee he'll be ready for the start of next season either.
It takes a while.
And then Monday Night Football saw the Patriots fall to the Dolphins. 27-20, Jay Cutler outperforming Tom Brady. We all saw that one coming, right?
Sure we did.
Touchdown Tommy had two interceptions on the evening. One touchdown. Meanwhile, Jay Cutler throws for 263 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. As they get a 27-21 in a game that really wasn't even that close. We'll have more on that one later because that has big implications as well as we move forward. Coming up, though, where we start this program, the Blazers dropped their fifth straight in a loss at Golden State. Time to panic. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
We didn't play defeated basketball, you know, even though they got away from us a little bit. I thought we never let that turn into us looking defeated or playing defeated. I thought we kept competing. We kept trusting each other. We made a lot of plays for each other, and the shots didn't go in. We still competed on the defensive end, and like I said, we gave ourselves a chance.
Damian Lillard, after the Blazers suffer a 111-104 setback in Golden State to the Warriors last night, dropping the Blazers down to 13-13 on the season. And that loss last night, you can't really blame Damian Lillard for that one, as he drops 39 points in the loss, including 10 of 11 from the free throw line. Blazers, and this is the frustrating part about NBA games for me. Remember we were talking about 12 free throws as a team for the Portland Trail Blazers against the Houston Rockets, and all of a sudden the aggressiveness comes back and they get 25 free throw attempts and Dame gets 11 on his own. You know, but you can't put this one solely on Damian Lillard, because he tried everything he could as that team was down by as many as 24 points there in the second half and rallies him back. That was a single-digit game with 8 points at several moments in that fourth quarter, including the final score of 111-104.
No, we can paint as good a picture as you can, and I don't disagree with you, but the team, even when you're losing and you're going up against a no Draymond, no Steph Curry Golden State Warriors team, mm-hmm. and you were clearly the lacking team from the tip. I mean, I understand you don't have Yusuf Nurkic, but at that point in time, you should be step for step with this team. You're missing two all-stars.
Yes.
And you're missing your center.
They have two other all-stars right there.
I don't disagree, but you supposedly have two backcourt all-stars also. And yes. You don't. And match it up. Call it what you want. You just got thumped on. I look at this team, and I don't know if it's in a funk or if there's confusion, if there's rotation, trying to find as Myers Leonard starts, who's the new center. If you could put your finger on what this team is trying to do, is it trying to find something? Because at this point, Damian Lillard has been the only bright spot for the past three seasons that we continue to say is the monolith of this team.
Yeah.
He does everything for this team.
You know, CJ McCollum played really well, too, offensively in that game. I mean, but 21 points, you're going to need massive efforts from everybody. I think outside of looking at Dame and CJ, again, we can point to the bench and say, what are we getting from there when you watch that game and say, you know, you got 12 points out of Vonleh and Lehman. You got 9 points or 12 points combined, 9 points from Zach Collins and 5 from Pat Connaughton. I mean, Connaughton made a big three to pull that thing within 8. And then the Blazers go down. They have a chance to get it within 6. And Dame misses a wide open layup, or not a wide open layup, but he misses a layup. And then they go back down, hit a 3, and boom, it's back up to 11. I mean, there's kind of those ebbs and flows of the games where momentum, the game of runs, went in favor of the Golden State Warriors. And their firepower is just better than Portland's is, even without Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Because you have Kevin Durant. In the NBA, isn't it the team that has the best player? Yeah, they're going to have the advantage. And Kevin Durant was hands down the best player on
the
floor.
It's not only the best player, it's the best vertical player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when someone that's 7 foot that's that good, it can do that. It's like Antetokounmpo, how he can change a game. We saw the way Milwaukee dismantled the Blazers. Anybody with length and that kind of height and the just the intensity, the athleticism of that size, the Blazers just can't match anybody in the league with that kind of size.
You know, the thing that is the most, I guess, head-scratching part for Portland is, I guess, would be concerning is, I mean, CJ McCollum said it. He said, we're going through an identity crisis right now. And the fact that you lose your identity on both ends of the floor when you have two guys injured, well, it's really when Yusuf Nurkic is injured and you lose your identity to this extent to where it's a 5-game losing streak. Take this game out of it. Take the Golden State Warriors out of it because they're one of the best teams in the NBA. But you still were able to go toe-to-toe because they were down two stars. The fact of the matter is that Portland does not have an identity offensively when Yusuf Nurkic is gone.
Yeah,
it's visible to us, and now the players are even acknowledging it.
Well, the identity is Damian Lillard, take the ball, do what you need to do.
Yes.
That, yeah. That's all, in my opinion, that's always been the Blazers' identity. You'll get an identity occasionally. You'll get a high pick and roll with what Yusuf can bring. He brings you off the screens, the adjustments for him to be able to get to the basket and finish. You know, he can hit an open jumper. But when you're talking about the identity is supposed to be C.J. McCollum mid-range, be able to knock down threes, and Damian Lillard being able to get to the basket and carry the team. When he's 3 of 13, I think, what was he, 3 of 13 last night from 3?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 5 of 13 from 3. 5 of 13.
And I agree with you in that, but that is their identity, is being able to create those looks, and they can't do it. Like, they just can't, like, Yusuf Nurkic goes out. And
they don't have
the
size to do it consistently.
They go back to being this team that has an inability to set a screen up high to get a clean look for Dame and CJ and move around the perimeter. And that, I mean, you look at that and you go, all right, you know, how can we take this team as a viable playoff contender when you go through these stretches? Now, it is the 26th game of the season, and we've always said this, that Terry Stotts usually does a good job of getting those guys in the second half surge, those last 40 games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you're sitting there going, this is where the Blazers should be making, giving a pad, because the schedule gets exponentially tougher.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that, and they have had an inability to do so. And that's concerning when you look at the Western Conference, because even more so, the West isn't this murderer's row that we thought it was going to be. You know, Oklahoma City is struggling. The Clippers are struggling. Utah is 13-14 right now. I mean, you're in this thing to where you had a pad on Minnesota, but Minnesota's kind of been playing a lot better of late.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now chasing Denver and New Orleans. I mean, that's going to be the expectation is that the Blazers are better than Denver and New Orleans this year. And they should be better than New Orleans right in Denver right now because of the way that the schedule has laid out. And the fact of the matter is they're flat out not.
The hard part of dealing with this Blazer team is that you're right there at the seventh seed currently. You're in this basketball middle ground of can you rise to one of the elites? Can you rise to be able to beat Houston, Golden State, San Antonio, even Minnesota? Mm-hmm. But then you look so far down, the teams like Dallas, Memphis, and Sacramento. It's this middle ground that the Blazers have been able to – what does it take to get over the hump? What is this? Can you be a 4 seed? Can you be a top 3 seed? Okay. Are you a player away? That's the hard part of dealing with this. Sometimes everyone says, well, I'd rather just be really crappy than be right in the middle. Well, if you're always on the fringe, at least you're a chance and you have that. The concerning thing to me is to listen to CJ say, we're trying to find identity right now. That doesn't sit well when you hear that. That's confusing to me.
Yeah.
You've been here long enough to know who you are as a player. Your identity is I take control when I need to be. That's just discouraging when you hear that from him.
He's talking about team identity, not his own, because, I mean, offensively.
Well, he's not playing great this year. So is that a problem that he needs to get over, or does he need to start to take the bull by the horns and say, this is a me issue, I need to be able to take that. Don't put it on us.
You know, Jason Quick had this interesting note on C.J. McCollum, is that, you know, his shooting averages right now are actually in line with what he shot in his career every year. I mean, I don't know, because he'll have a great game and then he'll fall down.
It's the consistency of it.
Yeah. He has been like consistency around that 46% shooter from the field, but he'll go a game where he's like 60% from the field and then 20.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's up and down.
You're going, what's going on here? But it's all kind of averaging out. And that's got to be the most frustrating part for him personally.
Sure.
But if for fans to watch it, you sit there and you go, how in the world can a guy that has been kind of a model of consistency and one of the best mid-range shooters in the game be so streaky now in his, what, fifth year in the NBA? And I know it's wearing on him and it's getting frustrating with him, but I also think it's a larger issue, and people are pointing more and more towards, is this a coaching issue with the Portland Trail Blazers? And that's a fair question. That's a question that people are going to be asking, and the more losses that pile up in a row, the more, you know, that finger gets pointed, because that's what you do in the NBA.
What have I always said about head coaching and coaching in general?
Managing egos.
That too, but your team takes on the identity of your leadership.
Yes, you do. You say both of those things quite often.
Often.
And they're right.
Well, I think everybody that understands it and looks at it goes, your head coach is your CEO. And your leadership, so you take on the identity of what your coach wants you to play and how to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this, in the end, is what Coach Stotts has formed. He is in control. This is his. And just like anything, you take full responsibility. And I know they do. And I know he does. And then the leadership starts with Dame after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good text on the Bridgeport Beer text line 55305. This one kind of hits right straight close to home. They just need better players.
That's fair.
55305. That is the Bridgeport Beer's text line.
And boom goes the dynamite.
We'll have more on the Blazers dropping their fifth straight to Golden State as the show goes on, especially because there's a head scratcher here in that. Where's Caleb Swanigan gone in the Blazers rotation?
Former starter.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a lot of discussions and head scratching moments here from the Blazers 5-game skid that we'll get to as the show goes on. But where we want to go to for our textual relations is Josh McCown, quarterback for the New York Jets. He's done for the year. And he had an emotional press conference yesterday. And if you haven't heard it, it may change the way you view players and how they view the teams they play on. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
24-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
All right, text on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. Josh McCown is quarterback for the New York Jets, and the Jets are actually playing a lot better than what people thought they were. I mean, remember at the beginning of the year, the Jets were supposed to be the team that we sat there and went, are they going to be winless, or is it going to be the Cleveland Browns that'll go winless this year? Mm-hmm. Actually, people were higher on the Cleveland Browns than they were on the New York Jets heading into this year.
They used the word tanking.
Gut the roster. And yeah, tanking was exactly the way that they were viewed. But now you look at the New York Jets, 5-8 on the year. They could be 500, which is respectable season in the NFL by any means, you know, because the league is built for everybody to go 500. Mm-hmm. And we obviously see some teams just can't do it in the way that they attack their roster. They couldn't. And one of the main reasons why is because they got incredible consistency from quarterback play for Jets standards. And Josh McCown is getting a lot of credit and lauded for his play this year. He's the perennial journeyman. He's not going to win you games, but he's not going to lose you games. That's the Josh McCown way. And here is Josh McCown. He broke his left hand in this past week's game. Here's Josh McCown taking the podium and talking about kind of what the injury means to him.
It's been the best because of the guys. You know, not numbers. You know, it's been the best because of the group of men in the locker room. And I'm just proud to be part of it. So thankful they let me be part of this team.
He's 38 years old in his 15th season in the NFL, and he breaks his left hand. And they're right there. This is a 5-8 team, 3 games under .500, no chance to go to the playoffs, really. Mm-hmm. And he's brought to tears because of the team and in the locker room and kind of what it means to him to play on the New York Jets and be a part of that team.
It's pretty emotional. There'll be a few people. There'll be things to say, oh, look at that. That's a guy. He's crying and he doesn't, it's fake. Or if it's no, it really isn't. I mean, that's the thing too, is that as I was driving in, I was listening to Golic and Wingo, and Mike Golic said it too. And that's kind of how, as former players, we look at it, is this tanking mentality that a lot of fans or anybody that says, oh, a team is tanking. No, a player is never, never tanking. It doesn't even ever cross your mind. It's not even possible for you to step out on a field and really consciously say, I want to play this game to lose. It's nuts. That's management. Those are fans. Those are the fanatics on the outside. Listen, there's a guy that's just an average quarterback, but he's played 15 years in the league. Do you believe him about how much it means to be part of that locker room? I've said this before. for somebody, the day I retired, I didn't miss the football game. And I'll tell you this over and over again. I miss the guys. I miss being a part of that locker room. I search for it every single day because of how impactful it was. And I think there's a lot of industries out there that are like, I think there's firefighters, former military people, anybody that's in a business where you have a team and you work as a group, you miss that atmosphere. That's what really hits home with you. This is one of those moments where you get a true feeling from a guy that's not afraid to share his emotions.
Yeah, and for Josh McCown, how much of it do you think is the fact that he's played 15 years for seven teams?
Journeyman.
And this has kind of been the best year of his career. Yeah. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's got the most completions of his career. He has the highest completion percentage of his career, most yards, most touchdowns. I mean, he's been outstanding for his standard in the NFL. And how much of it do you think is he's sitting there going, I'm 38 years old.
Well, he knows it's coming to an end.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that may be just as much as the great experience. But on the same token, he's had 10 years in Arizona, Oakland, Carolina, Chicago, Tampa, and Cleveland, and none of them have elicited this reaction from him before.
So, well, while I was with St. Louis, Isaac Bruce, future Hall of Famer, he came up to me and he was like, hey, Cam, it's great to have you on the team. And we were talking, and I would sit and talk with Isaac all the time. I called him Mike B, and he would sit around. He was a very soft-spoken man, but he always had a lot of great things to say. And he said, Cam, I'm going to continue to play this game till they kick me out. But just remember this. I've been around. I've seen all these players. The league will tell you when it's time for you to go. You stay as long as you can, but when it's time for you to go, the league will tell you. It did it to him as he tried to hang on with San Francisco, and I talked to him after. He said, see, the league told me it was time for me to go. No matter what, it's hard. Once it tells you it's time for you to go, and you're in your 30s, it's like, I'm going, wait, what? I'm 30.
Yeah.
That's not fair. But that's life in the NFL.
I'm wondering if it's changing anybody's perspective when you hear Josh McCown speak like that and you hear him talk about kind of that locker room bond. And this is a team that I wonder if the outside noise kind of galvanized that team to make them better than they are. Does it change the way you feel kind of about these guys and their approach to football? And does it kind of center, I guess, a little bit that selfish, entitled millionaire thoughts that some people have? 55305, that is the Bridgeport Beers text line. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
55305, Bridgeport Beers text line. Josh McCown, tearful in addressing his injury and what the season with the Jets has been like. They're 5-8 on the year. Does it kind of change the way that you view if you are one of the people that says these athletes are selfish, entitled guys, when you hear him have that tearful acknowledgement of what that locker room means to him?
I want to start off with this real quick, and I wanted to read this text because this is great. I spent 22 years in the Army when I retired, which is, I greatly looked forward to it. I was lost for over a year. I was bored. I kind of bummed around and irritated my family, and I still miss it. You always had the people to talk to, hang out with during the day, and every day had the potential and the interaction for different people. It was great. First of all, thank you for your service. And that's how it hits home. And you make a good point because you ask the question, is it about the money and the entitlement? And I think this hits home for me, but I want to read you something from Thomas Jones, a 12-year NFL veteran. And he kind of spelled it out with where we're talking about football and listen to it. He says, football, and especially NFL, is one of the most violent and brutal sports ever created. In between those white lines, it's a very dangerous place to be. We take pride and get pure enjoyment out of the physicality and the mentally dominating our opponents week in and week out. But the scariest part is when you don't even care about the money anymore. Merely the satisfaction of punishing someone. Every survival and animal instinct you have is activated when the ball is snapped. Literally survival of the fittest. Also, once those instincts are activated, unfortunately, there's no off switch. We have to be consistently in control of them or else. Being 5 years removed from a 12-year NFL career, the game and ramifications of it are way more clear to me now than they ever have been. Football's glorious and beautiful game, but enter at your own risk. It's a combination of, here, that's just it. nobody knows what it's going to be like until you're in it. And then they see that. And it isn't. When you cross that white line, it's not even about being entitled and worried about your dollar figure. I can be honest. I've seen guys quit that make $6 million a year. Mm-hmm. It's for some people and it's for not. But it's the missing of the connection of that sport and being a part of a team. That's kind of what, as the NFL and a lot of sports and former, and we're a sports station. So we're going to talk about that, about what it is to be part of a team. That's what these guys miss. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of industries out there and people, it's not just sports. It's just being a part of like-minded people.
Right.
And you're working together for a common goal. That can connect with everybody out there. That's just not just athletics.
No, it is. I mean, we got another text from a service member who says, you know, as an Army Ranger, I fully understand his emotions. The connection made with your brothers is irreplaceable. No matter how, if you're labeled as a band of misfits or your alphas, nothing replaces that feeling you get training, fighting, overcoming with your brothers.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, you hear it kind of boil up, and it doesn't happen very often because, as you were talking about that story with Isaac Bruce, a lot of guys don't get that opportunity where the goodbye is in the forefront. Like, that's reserved for very few people. And
very few. You
only see it maybe in a Hall of Fame speech or like when a Brett Favre or a Peyton Manning announced mm-hmm. their retirement, you'll see that. But Josh McCown is sitting there with a broken hand, and they shuffle him out in a press conference as part of the weekly media gathering to talk, mm-hmm. and they ask him kind of what this team means, and he's seeing, at 38 years old, a 15-year vet in the league, a broken hand is probably his last snap he's ever going to play.
Yeah. You know what most guys' retirements are in professional sports? Here's a trash bag. Clean out your locker.
Exactly.
That's your retirement. It's not about feel sorry for you. It's just the reality of knowing everything you've always worked for. Can you imagine going to school 4 years in your degree? And this is a very similar thing. It's training and pressing, being part of a team and atmosphere. And then 2 years into your new job, they told you everything you did prior to that, it's gone. Yeah. You have to now start over and figure out what you're going to do the rest of your life. That doesn't equate to the reality of a lot of regular or normal. I want to say normal. I hate that word all the time. But just everyone else. Because when you bust your butt and you get your doctorate or whatever, you want to become a doctor, you can be a doctor the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so there is this weird disconnect once sports are done.
And with all of that, I mean, the other way, you either get a trash bag and you're gone, or you just kind of float in free agency.
You're always searching for it.
For eternity, and you're mm-hmm. looking for it, and it's not going to, it's never going to come. And so this is a unique situation that I think that if you were to stick a mic in a lot of guys who know that this is the end of their mm-hmm. road, that's kind of the feeling that they have.
Here's another great one. Played college baseball, needed to find a job where there's a large presence of camaraderie, became a cop, and that's been fulfilled. So true.
Yeah.
The connection.
There is, and everybody's kind of looking for that brotherhood that you will find. And you know, for a lot of people that don't play sports, they find their brotherhood elsewhere.
Sure.
And everybody is kind of searching for the same thing, because at the end of the day, we're all kind of still primal and we go in packs.
Right.
You know, you want to find your pack, find your wolf pack.
Do you want to go and show up and be part of your office space where you go to your cubicle and you sit and nobody talks to each other and you do your coding or you do your typing and you do your TPS reports, you get up and leave? There's no fulfillment of that connection. I mean, sometimes you just want to go out and dig some ditches with a shirt on, with your boys.
I take my shirt off.
I mean, really. I mean, when it comes down to it.
No, but that is it. And I thought it was refreshing to hear that from Josh McCown. I really did. And I'm wondering,
genuine.
When people hear it, does that register and resonate with you? Like this text on the Bridgeport Beers text line says, you know, what's the difference between that and that's my quarterback, the T.O.? Wondering why that gets made fun of. And you just said McCown was genuine. There's always this feeling that when T.O. said that about Tony Romo, it wasn't that genuine because of the fact that he threw every single quarterback he's played with under the bus, you know?
In the moment, I could believe it's genuine because certain people are like that. In the moment, they live for the moment. Mm-hmm. They don't think about the past. They don't think about the future.
Yeah.
They live in the exact moment. And in sports, you have to be in the moment at all times because you never know when your future is gone. So I don't believe that I think that T.O. was full of crap. I think that he really believed it, and that meant something to him at that time.
But the reason why it gets made fun of is because whether it was Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb, you name his quarterback, he drove the bus over them, backed up, and then drove back over them again.
Sure.
And I think that's why, to answer that texter's question, I think that's why that one gets made fun of, is because you're like, really, dude?
But this is kind of how, and everyone always asks how the sausage is made, and that's kind of the peek behind the curtain, all these things that you see. When you get to see an actual NFL player that's been there for 15 years and they reveal themselves in a way that you're not supposed to do that. Let's be honest. Nobody cries. There's no crying in baseball, Tom Hanks. No crying in football. But when you see that, does that make you think that the guy's not tough?
Oh, gosh, no. Men cry. It's okay to cry.
It's good to have that emotion, that connection.
Yeah. It's 2017, man. It's almost 2018. Crawford cries every day. That's usually
I don't cry every day.
You give him a covered wagon at the desk, but
what's a covered wagon?
You know, you've never heard of a covered wagon?
Is that
wagon?
A bullied thing? Is it like a Dutch oven?
No. Whoa. Oh. No. Oh. It is not.
Okay,
no.
Sorry.
Not even close.
No.
Oh, it's a...
It's a wedgie over your head.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was called the atomic wedgie.
No. The old covered wagon, bud. All right. 55305. Josh McCown, did that do anything for you? The Bridgeport Beers text line. What?
That made me laugh. The way you said that. Did that do anything for you?
Well, did it do anything for you?
It made me think of like...
Well, I think... Because I think there's a lot of people out there that do that ho-hum kind of deal.
Well, those are just... Those are people that have never experienced a team and know what it's like to be part of a team and be part of a group.
Yeah.
Don't know what it's like to want to go out and win something and be a part of something for somebody else.
And what's amazing...
That's really what it's about. It's about giving yourself to something else, to the greater cause.
What's amazing about the Josh McCown thing is that this isn't a guy who's spent 8 years of his 15-year career or his entirety of his 15-year career in New York and with the Jets. He's played 8 games of a 15-year career in New York with the Jets. And it's almost instantaneous when you catch that fire and you know that team and what it means to you, that's where how quickly it can build and you can get to that point. Mm-hmm. And it may be the end of a long career for him and he knows it, or it may just be that group in New York did it for him. And you said something about Terry Stotts. I think this may say a lot about Todd Bowles, the coach, is you have a gutted roster, yet everybody's saying how bad you're going to suck and you're going to be the laughing stock of the league. And he was able to,
give him a reason. They gave him a reason.
Circle the wagons and get it going there. And the Jets are 5-8. Which, for Jets standards, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to go 0-16, right? According to the pundits.
Never use that dumb word.
No, I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's why pundits are pundits. And they don't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I think, too, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like McCown also, as you said, Dusty, knows that this could be the last season he ever plays, and this is a guy who knows his passion is football, and he loves football, and he loves playing football. Yep. And I know that that's a big thing that I think any pro athlete deals with, or any college athlete, or anybody who does sports or has their passion taken away from, because you can only play sports at that level for so long, or at any level for so long, and then it's taken away. And I know, like, life after football, I'm sure for you, Cam, was hard adjusting to just not having that every day and changing. And I think that a lot of people, regardless of whether they're a pro athlete or whatever they do, have a hard time ever finding their passion, ever feeling that fulfillment. And so when you find it, but then you know that it's ending, that's got to be really, really tough.
That speech that Josh McCown gave, that's probably going to get him another job somewhere, because there's going to be a GM that goes, I want a guy who wants it. I don't care if he's 39 years old. I want a guy who wants it.
And
he'll
mentor,
be a coach someday, most definitely. He'll be in the routine. That's what some of these guys do. When they're done, they just get right into coaching because they're still a part of it. It's a great industry.
All right, 55305, that is the Bridgeport Beers text line. Monday Night Football saw the AFC put Pittsburgh in the driver's seat. What got into Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins? Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.